You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Good Friday afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Gym Class. On this Hydration Friday, well, it was at one point anyway. It will still be again. Mark Dukes alongside today with Buttons back in the studio. Scott Unash hoping to get his races in tonight out at Hawkeye Downs after a bit of a shower here on the southwest side. And last I knew, the races are still on. Buttons, is the coast clear for Hawkeye Downs tonight?
You know, I was just looking at that. It looks like there may be a few pop-up rain showers, but they're going to go off. They're definitely going to go off. I feel like that the big stuff is behind us, and everything else is going to die down, which we'll have more once we talk a little bit more about what's going on today.
We'll cross our fingers for Hawkeye Downs Racing and any other outdoor activities that may be in store for tonight, including a lot of high school action. I know, good show for you today. Scott Docterman of The Athletic is going to be along in about 15 minutes to talk about what was a very newsy day yesterday for the Iowa Hawkeyes and college football. Scott doing a great job covering all of that with The Athletic. We'll get to an Emo's Hideaway scoreboard just coming up right before Scott, and give you another chance to win a Freedom Festival prize pack. We've been doing that all week, and the prize pack includes four buttons, two Freedom Festival t-shirts, and an automatic entry into a chance to win a $500 Hy-Vee gift card. That coming up in about 30-35 minutes or so. Buttons, I wanted to start off by acknowledging the fact that it's an extremely big day in Chicago right now. Not only because of the Chicago Cubs are taking on the St. Louis Cardinals, progress of that game I'll cover in the Emo's scoreboard segment, but it's the return to 100% capacity at Wrigley Field. And it doesn't look like it's completely full at Wrigley Field, but it's very, very close. And it's quite a sight, if you remember back to last year, with no fans in the stands. People are shoulder to shoulder at Wrigley Field, and it's a great sight to see. Have you ever been, Buttons?
I went when I was really little to Wrigley Field to actually watch a game, but I've been there a couple times just because I'm around Chicago, and as a Cubs fan, you always have to go to that part of town. But over 41,000 people can now enter Wrigley Field. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good to see. And I've been to Wrigley Field several times. I'm not a Cubs fan, but I'm a baseball fan. And I think if you're a baseball fan, visiting Wrigley Field is a must. You walk up and see the field for the first time and the ivy in the outfield. It's quite a sight. It really is. And, you know, I know a lot of you out there have been to Wrigley Field. Maybe have some experiences you'd like to share. 319-366-1600. Buttons, I'm going to tell you this, though. If you ever go back, don't go on a bus trip.
No?
I've taken two, three, maybe four bus trips into Chicago for a Cubs game. Be it, you know, maybe a bar is sponsoring a bus trip, maybe a social organization. There's always some people that get plowed before they even reach the Chicago city limits. And then they drink a little bit more at the game. And then you're waiting on the bus to get back to Cedar Rapids. And there's always one or two stragglers who are holding up the whole works. And it just became a frustrating situation. But it just took a few characters to kind of sour me on bus trips.
If I remember right, this was this would have been a long time before I got here, but didn't KGYM take a bus trip over to Wrigley?
Yes, indeed. We've got a listener. So I think it's Sean from the bus trip.
There you go.
Frequently weighs in. And yeah, that was a successful endeavor, I think. Todd Brommelkamp hosting that.
Did you go?
It may feel different. I don't know. Maybe can relate to some of my bus trip stories, but it just seemed always a few that would try to empty their cooler before they get to Chicago and then have a few more at the game and kind of obnoxious on the way back while the rest of us are trying to sleep.
You know, that's why you just got to go with friends or family that you can tell to shut up if they need to shut up, you know?
Yeah, it's I tried to pre-read a text here. I'm sorry for the delay, but I don't mean to, you know, if somebody's sponsoring a bus trip, I don't want to dissuade them. Or if a KGYM ever does another one, I'd certainly be on board with that.
Our listeners are usually good, though, about that, too.
Yeah, I think so.
We have some great listeners.
I don't know what was more annoying, people getting drunk before they got to the game or having to wait around for a couple before we could head back to Cedar Rapids, because it was always they were the pariahs. Once they did get to the bus, people would look at them, maybe say something to them, and it was a long bus ride home for them, I think. But just the way it was, my experience, we'll see. I mean, but, I think Wrigley Field is a must. That's for sure. And a lot of people are enjoying the heck out of it right now after not being able to get back and watch a game with 100% capacity. So, it's great to see.
It's a fantastic sight to see.
Also, I meant to mention after towards the end of the show, we're going to get to an event. I don't know if you're going to call it a sporting event, but an event coming up this weekend. Actually, it's already underway. That you might want to take a look at. A very underrated event. We're going to talk about that towards the back half of the show here. 319-366-1600. Is our text line and our phone line. Coming up tonight, we've got Twins baseball against the Astros on 107.5 FM at 6:30 p.m. Quite a comeback, and then likely one at that for the Twins last night. Down 5-3 in the ninth inning, Josh Donaldson hits a two-run tying home run, and a couple batters later, Nelson Cruz launched a two-run home run to beat the dreaded Yankees. A very tough out for the Twins over the years. And it came against no one better than Aroldis Chapman, the hard-throwing left-hander who I dislike. I'll just put it that way. He's really good at what he does, or at least he used to be, but that was a game I could have gone to bed knowing he's on the mound going into the bottom of the ninth inning, but I didn't. I'm glad I didn't, because that was quite a thriller. Also on our airwaves tonight, 6 p.m., continuing coverage of NBA basketball. The 76ers and the Hawks go at it. 1600 a.m., 102.3 FM, and 106.3 FM. We've got an NBA-related poll question today at kgymradio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. And thanks to Steve Anderson and his crew for sponsoring the poll question today and every day. The question is this: which two teams win tonight in the NBA? The Sixers and the Suns, the Hawks and the Nuggets, the Sixers and the Nuggets, or the Hawks and Suns? Go ahead and vote KGYMRadio.com. Are you following the NBA?
I'm not.
Or NHL?
I'm not a big NBA fan, and I wish I've watched more our NHL this year, because I do like the NHL. What's your take on the NBA tonight?
I think the Nuggets are in trouble. They haven't played well the first couple games. And I thought they were going to be much more competitive, and I think, you know, maybe they will be against the Suns. And I think the Sixers are going to take care of the Hawks. But we could be wrong. I mean, some of us didn't think Milwaukee was going to size up against the Nets last night. Milwaukee blowing a 21-point lead and then coming back to win by three. So this is a game that no lead is safe, I don't think. And in the playoffs, I think that's especially so. In the NHL, I've caught just a little bit of the action. Las Vegas looks really good. Wrapped up its series last night. Going to the semifinals now. And this is when it gets really interesting for me and when I'll tune in more frequently. But I don't know. I'm not taking a bus trip to Las Vegas, but I wouldn't mind seeing play in Vegas, right?
Oh, you know, I would not take a... I just fly to Vegas. That would be just a long, terrible road trip in general. But I wouldn't mind going to Vegas.
I have driven to Vegas. Actually, I was driving to San Diego.
And what did you think of driving to Vegas?
We were with another couple,
mm-hmm.
and we drove through continuously. And I remember getting to a certain point nearing Las Vegas. It was at an elevation. You could look down on whatever road we were on. You could see the lights of Las Vegas. And we all said to one another, "Yeah, we're almost here." It was like an hour and a half, 2 hours later before we got there. Because the lights were so bright, but we were still so far away. But I wouldn't do it again, that's for sure. Flights are too cheap. And
especially in Vegas.
Yeah. So let's get to a emo scoreboard update. A lot on the docket today. It's brought to you by Emo's Hideaway, which I'm going to frequent tonight. I'm going to sample the fare once again. Can't wait for that. But Emo's Hideaway, open again every evening, Monday through Saturday. They also offer online ordering, curbside carryout, and delivery at emoshideaway.com. Emo's located on Glenbrook Drive Southeast near Lindale Mall. Let's start out with an NCAA track meet going on in Eugene, Oregon. Iowa is on the board with a couple athletes who have earned All-American honors. La Laga Tosaga of the women's team finished sixth in the shot put. She will defend her national discus title later on. Will Daniels of the men's team scoring points with a seventh-place finish in the decathlon. Tonight, a couple hurdlers are in the 110 hurdle finals, trying to pile up some more points for the Hawkeyes, and also the 4x400 relay team qualified fourth, hoping to at least equal or improve on that. Major League Baseball, only one game in action. It's the one we talked about earlier. That's the Cubs and the Cardinals. St. Louis out to a 5-1 lead, but the Cubs have knocked the starting pitcher out for the Cardinals and a battle back. It's now 5-4 in the top of the sixth before a near-capacity crowd at Wrigley Field. State girls soccer tournament going on in Des Moines once again today. The championship matches in 1A, Davenport Assumption is your champion, 2-0 over Des Moines Christian. The 2A championship had to endure a weather delay, perhaps the one we just experienced here in Eastern Iowa. But Waverly Shell Rock defeats Dallas City Grimes 4-1 for the 2A title. Iowa recruit Kenzie Rowling with a hat trick. So there you have it, the Emo's scoreboard for today. And we want to take a break right now, and Buttons will get Scott Dockerman on the line and visit with Scott right after this.
So here's the thing. When you use electricity can matter as much as how much you use. Who knew, right? Linn County REC does. they purchase power to get members like you the electricity you need. When demand is the highest, it puts a whopper of an impact on the power grid, so the cost is higher. But if everybody kind of spreads out when they're using electricity, Linn County REC doesn't have to pay as much, and the savings are passed on to you. The busiest times for energy use are known as on-peak hours. Right now, that's from 4 in the afternoon to 9 at night. So, if everybody works together to lessen their use a little, it means lower impact on the grid and lower cost to Linn County REC and you. So, what can you do? Easy stuff. Avoid running multiple appliances at the same time during peak hours, schedule chores like laundry, running the dishwasher for off-peak times, and keep the amount of electricity you're using lower from 4 to 9. Working together can beat the peak. Yet another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
The world has faced a lot of challenges since the 1940s when Willa Dickens walked in the door of Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. And over the decades, as his business and family grew, he realized that jewelry is more than mere metals and stones. It's a message, one that's lasting and meaningful. It can be something you say to yourself, like cheery, colorful gemstones that tell you beautiful days are ahead. Or a diamond that says, you are stronger than you know. Jewelry from Hertin and Stocker can also offer a special message to someone else, conveying sentiments like, I love you, I appreciate your friendship, or I can't wait until we see each other again. It's a beautiful statement you make to yourself or the people who are important in your life, especially now. So stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Open up to outdoor living. If you're adding on or redoing a deck, take it up a notch with stylish patio doors. Alexander Lumber has an excellent selection, from elegant French doors to contemporary bifold and multifold doors in an array of colors and materials. Select from high-end, architect-preferred brands like Colby and others. Complement your home and your outdoor vibe with patio doors from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Welcome back to the gym class on this Friday, 3/21. Coming to you, Mark Dukes and Buttons. Today, Scott Unash off, hopeful of getting Hawkeye Downs Racing in tonight, and it appears that they will. Right now, we want to bring in Scott Docterman from The Athletic and talk to him about a variety of different things. Thanks for taking the time, Scott, as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Mark. Glad to talk to you.
You're welcome. Let's start close to home, and that is the announcement of Baron Wine going to be available at all, or at least four Iowa Athletic facilities. Kinnick Stadium, Carver Hawkeye Arena, and the baseball and softball stadiums. We knew this was coming. It wasn't alarming that the announcement was made, but you've been around perhaps to some of the stadiums in the Big Ten that do offer beer or wine or what have you. I know Illinois had it available in 2019, perhaps some others. Do you have any experience in terms of the operations of this?
A little bit. Minnesota is probably the one that comes to mind first because they were the first school in the Big Ten to actually have this take place, and they did it in 2012, and it's been pretty seamless. And I think if there was a school, though, that was kind of a guinea pig in some ways for whether this works or not, and that was Ohio State. And it's a bigger facility, certainly, than Kinnick Stadium. But they started in 15, and then 2016 they went full scale throughout the stadium. And it turned out, I mean, not only do they make a lot of money doing it, but a lot of their arrests and things went down. And some of the rationale, whether it's right or wrong, and I think there is probably some truth to it and probably some embellishment as well, is that, a lot of people, instead of, hey, let's go ahead and get rid of these last two beers before we go into the stadium, that people don't necessarily slam those couple of drinks. Then they're like, okay, well, fine, we can just leave them in the car and
go in and have our beers. So there's some legitimacy to that. I think, we got to trust the adults in the room, and they're not going to be put up anywhere near the student section. And, the adults have been drinking responsibly at major league sports venues, for 100 years. So I think we can trust that they'll do an okay job at Kinnick Stadium and the other venues.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, as you kind of alluded to, is they're going to have a couple pops before they even get in the stadium. So they're getting a head start, I think, on that. But I want to ask you, in Gary Barta making the announcement, do you see anything wrong about the decision or the way it was handled?
No, not really. They did their research with this, and I scrutinized it, fairly heavily when I got the word that it was coming down the pike. And they first introduced it in 2006 in the luxury suites. And I think you could probably criticize that decision more than you can this one, which is, okay, you're just favoring the fans that kind of, that are upper crust and the donors and the ones in the luxury suites, but you're forgetting about the common fan here. And then in 2018, when they did some changes at the in the north end zone and more club seating, and there was some low seating what they call the Iron Man boxes, and they allowed beer in there, and it was more for wider consumption. I think that went well. There weren't any problems. And so as early as 2018 and 19, they were discussing about doing this. Fairly soon. And then, of course, last year with the pandemic, there wasn't anybody in there, so there was no need to do it. But I think, there is some legitimacy that you could say that with the pandemic, they need to make some revenue. And this is one way they can do it. My guess is just kind of gauging the numbers at Iowa and then the other, football and for the other sports. I think, saying somewhere between $1.5 and $2 million in revenue, I think is a legitimate possibility. I think you'll see a lot of people drinking at wrestling meets, basketball games, and then, of course, football games. And it's just going to be a matter of, can they keep it under control? And all signs point to that shouldn't be as much of a problem as, say, people downing other substances in the parking lots.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think a million and a half net proceeds kind of is reasonable as I compared it to like what Illinois did in 2019. LSU was over $2 million, I think, in that same year. Depends on how many fans you draw. We know Kinnick Stadium is almost always full or pretty close to it. So they're going to have more customers than what they do. Did at Illinois, but what are some of the logistics that you think need to be worked out, whether it be IDs, extra security, what have you? I know you're a craft beer guy. You want craft beer on tap if you're going to be a fan, right?
Yeah, and I think that's where it starts is probably, a lot of people have wondered about, what types will be available, but also the small things, but that matter, whether it's IDing people, where they're going to be located, how many points of contact between ushers or distributors and the general public. And then also making sure that you leave, it's a small concourse at Kinnick Stadium. So you got to make sure that there's enough room for people who just simply want to buy popcorn or go to the restroom. So, those are going to be some of the issues that they're going to have to work through. They're not going to. And one of the things Matt Henderson with Iowa told me was, look, we're probably going to try to avoid using taps and go more with cans because it's just easier to kind of negotiate and move around. And then, the cynic in me goes, you're going to see people throwing those cans at the officials, but then you think about it and you're like, no, they're not. I mean, those beers are probably going to cost them $10. Why would they launch them at an official? So I think overall it's probably going to, there might be a few stories that we'll hear from time to time about somebody, being in line too long or something, but otherwise I think it'll go off pretty well.
talking with Scott Dockerman of the Athletic at 3:30 on today's edition of the Gym Class. Let's get to the next story that we addressed yesterday, and that is the recommendation of expanding the college football playoffs to 12 teams as early as 2023, depending on whether the contract runs through 2025, but perhaps some renegotiation there. But ups and downs of this idea, Scott.
Well, I think the positives are immense, and that is, you know, first of all, if you're an Iowa State fan, this pretty much gives you access on your very good years to get into the most important aspect of the season. I mean, you know, really we look at what Iowa's done over the last 20 years, and there's been probably two seasons where they can argue their way into some sort of playoff or be right at the edge of it, and that was 2002 and 2015. But when you're talking about 12 deep, Iowa, you know, probably would have been in it four times maybe over that 20-year period. So that's really important for those players and who they can see it now. You know, and I think it also actually improves the regular season a little bit, because you think about coming down to that final weekend where it's, let's say, Iowa and Wisconsin both are kind of in that top 15 range, and they're playing with Minnesota and Nebraska on the final weekend. Well, those games really matter for those two teams, for everybody involved, but then also for the games outside of the Big Ten. You know, if you're an SEC fan and of number 17 Texas A&M, you really care what happens in Madison or Iowa City. So I think it really adds to the regular season. The one problem I have or question that needs to be addressed is, what are you going to, the extension of the regular season is something that's going to be problematic in dealing with the athletes that, you know, they're not paid. You know, we can, reasonably people can disagree and discuss as to what measure they need to be, but if you're adding up to two or three more games, then I think that's got to be, you've got to figure out what do you need to do there. Now, in my opinion, what I think the Big Ten could do is, you know, I love the Champions Week concept that they did last year. Just make, you know, that Champions Week 12 and so everybody matches up 1 versus 1, 2 versus 2. If you could keep divisions, if you dump the divisions, then you can have other little aspects. So I think this is, there's some potential to knock a game back for teams, but if you get a first round matchup in that playoff, and you make it to the championship game, you'd be playing 17 games in 1 year. I think that's probably too many.
Evidently not be voted on or passed until September, if I read things right. In the meantime, I wonder if there will be some tweaks, because there is the matter of Notre Dame wouldn't get a first round bye because it is not a member of a conference, unless the ACC does something with Notre Dame, I suppose. But how's that going to work if Notre Dame's ranked second in the country?
Well, Notre Dame is going to be stuck. And, you know, this is what Notre Dame has, you know, and frankly, their athletic director was involved. He was one of the members of the 4-team management council that came up with this plan. And I guess that's the price for being independent. They've kind of had an outsized say in the college football playoff for many, many years and in college football. And if their athletic director joins all these conference of commissioners and sets these plans, in some ways I think it's unfair, because Notre Dame is not the same name it once was. Now, so this is a concession it had to make in order to make sure that it gets in. Maybe this is that final push if they are, like you said, if they go 12-0 and end up being a number 5 seed or something like that, maybe this is that final push that the Irish fans will say, you know what, it's probably more important to be in the ACC and have a chance to get a bye and try to win a national title than just be an independent. So I think that's going to force them down the road to make that consideration. And then there's a couple other interesting facts. I mean, I was kind of sorting out some of these numbers. You know, back in
2002, when Iowa was when Ohio State was number two in the polls and undefeated, and Iowa was number three in the polls, but also number five in the BCS. In that situation, even if they voted Iowa number three, it wouldn't receive a bye because it's a champions that get in there. So if you're the second best team in your league and yet and ranked in the top four in the country, you will not receive a bye. So that's something that is kind of strong here. So, and then of course the top six champions get in. There might be a year where two of the mid majors are better than say a 9-3 or team from the Pac-12 or something. So it could conceivably leave out a major champion. It's doubtful, but it could happen once every 10 years.
Scott, in your opinion, what does it mean for the bowls? I understand that the quarterfinals maybe are played at bowl sites January 1 and 2, the first round games having been played on campus. How is it going to affect the bowls?
Well, it kept them a little bit alive here, and they're still relevant because of the way that they're going to structure it. If they were to go with the top four, let's say the top four seeds would still be able to host on campus in the quarterfinal round, it might kill the bowls for good. But the fact that now all six of the major bowls can be incorporated into the quarterfinals and semifinals, then it keeps their relevance, and then it keeps the relevance of the bowls that are just outside that structure, like the Alamo or the Outback or Citrus or Holiday, that they can still be alive. And really, once you get past the top 12 and, you know, those teams are going to be going to some bowls, you're going to see some departures from, you know, players who are draft eligible, probably first rounders. But then also, you know, fans aren't going to travel to those games. So I'm really fascinated by how the second-tier bowls are able to kind of survive after this because, as you know, if you look at, let's say that if Iowa was a top-10 team all year long and goes and loses to Ohio State in the Big Ten title game and falls out of the top 12 and into the Citrus Bowl, fans would be traveling in droves to wherever they need to go for a championship opportunity. But for an Outback Bowl or a Citrus Bowl, the majority of them will stay home and say, I'll just save my money rather than travel down there. So I'm going to be interested to see how that all comes together after a few years of data is accumulated.
Yeah, it is going to be very interesting, I think, and whether it will be. Are you surprised it went from 4 to 12? Or apparently will?
You know, you are a little bit, but then you look at it and you figure, you know, this is a pretty good situation because otherwise you're just going to have constant bracket creep. You know, if you expand it to six, then people are going to say, well, you know, are these all going to be champions? And then you're going to leave out a champion, and then somebody's going to be mad for that. If you do it to eight, it's going to be kind of the same way. At least now, you know, you're going all the way to 12, and I think that answers the question for a while, you know, probably a good decade plus as to whether or not they're going to expand some more. And I think having those first round games on campuses, I think that's an exciting opportunity in some ways. I mean, if you look last year or, you know, a lot of years, you might get an Iowa or an Iowa State potentially hosting a playoff game in mid-December. And, you know, if you're going to get, like, say, LSU up to the state of Iowa or Florida, you'd have to like your opportunities because it might be kind of a chilly situation for those teams.
Let's turn to recruiting with Scott Docterman of The Athletic here at 3:38 on the Friday edition of the Gym Class. First of all, basketball, Scott. Iowa getting a commitment from DeSante Bowen. And all I've seen is tape on him. Looks to be an extremely good player, a four-star by most accounts. And we had a debate and a poll question when the news was announced. Is this Fran McCaffrey's biggest get? And I, you know, we don't know how Bowen is going to pan out. But how would you respond to that question?
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far right now because he he's had some pretty big ones. I think the most important one, at least in perception, was Adam Woodbury, who's a top 50 guy. And at that point, it kind of stamped Iowa as a legitimate player for good athletes around the country. And he was a guy that he went after guns blazing. And I think after him, you probably look at Tyler Cook, top 100 four-star, and Joe Wieskamp locally being able to pull him off. I think those three are probably my top three. But I do think that DeSante Bowen is a really important get for him, because if there's been one thing missing, one aspect missing from Fran's offense that he probably would like to have is kind of your do-it-all point guard, you know, a guy who can distribute and score, can get in the hole, can defend, do all those things. And they haven't really had that, a complete point guard in that regard over his tenure. And I think DeSante Bowen kind of fits that. Now, Joe Toussaint might get there. And you know, Devin Marble was probably the closest thing, but he was more of an off guard. But I think this is, an important get for the future of this program. But I wouldn't quite put him above Woodbury, Wieskamp, and Cook as far as most important gets, because they were all definitely top 100, and in Woodbury's case, a top 50 recruit at the time.
Speaking of Joe Wieskamp, I wonder why we haven't heard any definitive answer on his return. I think it's probably 95% chance he isn't. He's not listed on the Iowa roster at this point. I know he's working out with NBA teams right now. Is there some still level of uncertainty in Joe's mind, you think, or what's your take?
Without speaking to him, I would say I would kind of agree with you about the 95%. I think he's gone. I think he's probably a draft pick, but I don't know if he just wants to wait and let the process completely play out. It's still a delayed period compared to what it was in the past, where the NBA draft, heck, we'd be at the NBA finals right now, and the NBA draft would be taking place at the end of this month, and instead it's later this summer. So I don't think he has to make that decision right now, but going through these processes and accumulating information and finding out if this is the best move for him, I think it's probably important for him to acquire that kind of information. Now, I do think he's gone, but they've got one more scholarship available, and he'd be the one to get it, and he would change the direction of this program in a heartbeat for next year if he could return. But at the same time, I think he's an NBA guy, and I think he's gone. And whether he's kind of the end of the bench, bounce between the G League and the NBA, or he actually makes a roster and stays, I think he has that kind of ability.
Lastly, football recruiting. How are the 22 and even perhaps the 23 classes taking shape?
Pretty slow in Iowa right now. I mean, there's only four commits. One is Aaron Graves from the Gowrie area over by Fort Dodge. And, he's a machine. And I think he's going to – but he committed a long time ago. He's been right after his freshman in high school. But this is a big month because they just keep bringing players in over and over and over again, walking the halls. And their big official weekend is June 25th in 2 weeks. And that's where they'll have more than 20 guys right now, and probably more, walking around on campus, in an official capacity. And that's where I think you'd expect the numbers to go from 4 to 10 to 12 to 15 even. So that's a really critical weekend. But this is speed dating. And this is for every school, not just Iowa. And I think what we're going to see is, and I'm not saying just Iowa or specifically to Iowa, but I think we're going to see a lot of kids changing their mind in a couple of years. And I think we'll see a lot of transfer portaling out of this 2022 class, because they just didn't have the opportunity to go to a lot of these schools, and you want to get your seat at the table while you can. So I think that's what we're going to I think this is going to be a tough year when we reevaluate it in 2026 and 27.
You want to take a break and listen to Bill Murray sing the seventh inning stretch or not?
Yeah, I got him on right now.
lastly, on football, it's a different year for not only the programs, but for the kids, because they can go to the Iowa camp or any camp they choose, go to multiple camps, and they can be on campus, something that last year's group couldn't do. And every now and then you find a diamond in the rough, so to speak, at your camp, or that kid may attract attention of another coach who's at the camp. So unlike last year, this is a very good time for kids and the programs.
Yeah, it's been a really weird 2 years, because last year Iowa was able to get most of its guys, at least on campus in unofficial capacities, all the way through up until the shutdown, and so then they could keep contact with them, and they made a lot of decisions by now. So they had a lot more commits at this point. This group hasn't had a chance to go anywhere, whether it's even to just take a step inside and wave to people, up until June 1st. So yeah, now that they're on campuses, it's a chance for them to really, you know, see everybody. And there's been a lot of camps and a lot of different coaches from a lot of different schools. But you know, like some of our people at The Athletic, Sam Kahn and Chris Vanini, covered this SMU super camp with 4,000 players on it. And coaches were there. And that's a tough way to try to evaluate kids. So I think there's going to be some diamonds in the rough. I think you're going to see the beneficiaries at the MAC schools collecting a few kids who normally might go to a Big Ten school. And then I think you're going to see a lot of players that land in Big Ten schools that probably aren't quite of that ability. But it all will change, like, say, in 2025 and 26, when with the upward mobility and then also some of the transfer portaling.
Scott, thanks for so much for taking the time this afternoon. God, stay cool and be well, okay?
All right, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Scott Docterman of The Athletic joining us on the Gym Class today. Right now at 3:46, Buttons, we want to give one listener an opportunity to win a Freedom Festival prize pack. It includes 4 Freedom Festival buttons and 2 Freedom Festival t-shirts. And lastly, an automatic entry to win a $500 Hy-Vee gift card. This is the City of Five Seasons, Buttons. Let's take caller number 5. And that person will win this prize. So when we get back, we'll tell you our winner and continue our discussion.
Bring your friends and family out to Hawkeye Downs for a special Saturday night at the races tomorrow. The Midwest Truck Series, Mid-American Stock Car Series, and 602 Late Models will feature drivers from all over the Midwest battling it out right here in Cedar Rapids. Adult tickets are $12. Military, senior, and youth tickets are $10. Children 8 and under get in free. Qualifying begins at 4:45, and racing begins at 6. Be sure to come out tomorrow for an exciting night of racing on the half mile at Hawkeye Downs Speedway.
Heading to the Solid Waste Agency on a Saturday? You need an appointment. Just make one at solidwasteagency.org. Saturday appointments help keep the lines down and traffic moving at the Cedar Rapids-Linn County Solid Waste Agency. So if you want to drop off recycling or garbage at the landfill or resource recycling building on a Saturday, you need an appointment. If that's not your thing, stop by during the week, because no appointment is needed Monday through Friday. Get details at solidwasteagency.org. Stay safe out there.
If you're trying to be your best, whether that's the best office bingo player or the best volleyball player on the planet, you're going to need some help. Almonds are that help. Your teammate to tackle anything and everything. Whether you eat them by the handful or sipping on an almond milk smoothie, almonds are natural fuel for the best you. Your snack to keep your head in the game and body energized. So, whether you're going for the top step of the podium or another round of bingo, refuel with almonds. California Almonds. Own your everyday, every day.
Clay's Cleaning Service has a spotless reputation.
Jimmy, take care of the windows. Hello, this is Clay.
But his business operations, yes, could use a light dusting.
Boy, I had you scheduled for next week. I'll just check here. No, absolutely. We will be there tomorrow.
Indeed can help him hire the people he needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Congratulations to Chris in Cedar Rapids.
Congratulations, Chris. Hope you enjoy the Freedom Festival this summer. And best of luck in the drawing for the $500 Hy-Vee gift card. Do you know how that's going to happen, Buttons?
I do not at this point. I can find out more information.
Okay.
I'll look into that for you.
At some point, our five winners will be in that drawing, and one lucky person will win that $500 gift card. Update from Wrigley Field. Bill Murray has survived the seventh inning, singing of the seventh inning stretch. Right now, the Cubs have matched St. Louis. It's 5-5. Bottom of the seventh inning before a near capacity crowd at Wrigley Field. As always, every weekend, Buttons, there's a ton of sports happening. We'll have baseball and NBA basketball right here on the KGYM airwaves, NCAA baseball tournament going on, NCAA softball, on and on and on. One event that people may not be focused on is the Westminster Dog Show, Buttons.
I am ready for this.
This is a show that is near and dear to your heart.
Very.
I have watched it. I mean, it's like admitting I watch The Bachelorette and Dancing with the Stars. I'm up to it, okay? I do watch it. From time to time, not wire to wire. And I'm not talking wire-haired terriers, but that's the king of best of show, right? The terriers?
Yeah, they've won 46 times out of the 134-year history. Or I guess it's a little bit more than that. My group, though, the Corgis, of course, because of Tonks, has won only 3 times out of their 134 shows. What's with that?
I don't know, but I love your dog. And,
you know, she wins the best of show in my heart.
That's all that counts, man. You were telling me earlier a certain kind of dog is ruling best of show right now. By the way, this competition started this morning and continues into the weekend. But what's that about?
Yeah, so what it looks like right now is the Terriers are winning best of show by over 45 wins. That's a lot of wins since, what was it, 1877 when the show first started. But there are two dogs that you'd be surprised that never won. Can you guess them?
Poodle.
They've won.
Chihuahua.
They've also won. The Labrador Retriever. And,
oh, really?
And the Golden Retriever.
Never have won.
Never have won. Some of the best dogs around, in my opinion. Just because I've had three different retrievers and labs in my life.
That's strange. They're really good-looking dogs. And
they're good-looking dogs.
There's some dogs in there that aren't so good-looking, too, and dogs I've never heard of. And
there's 4 new breeds this year.
What is this, the Olympics? letting in skateboarding, and now we're letting in new breeds of dogs?
I know. Well, there's one breed that was bred as recently as I think they were recognized in Germany in 1980. If you know what a Belgian Malinese is, it's kind of like a German Shepherd. Looks like that, but with a lot more fur.
Is this sports? Are we not sticking to sports? Is a Westminster dog show, is it sports?
Listen, it's sports to me. The dogs run around in circles. There's exercise for people. I think it's sports.
There's no ball involved.
There's no ball, but, you know, there's treats involved.
Now, answer me this, Buttons. Why do the handlers have to dress to the hilt Why can't they come out there in sweatpants and a t-shirt?
You know, if I were to enter, I would come out dressed in sweatpants and t-shirts, but it's tradition. I mean, back in 1877, that's what you wore. And it's just kept up with that tradition, and it makes everybody look official and nice. And it shows that you have some respect for the field at the end of the day. And the another fun fact for this year, the Best in Show judge has been in the show since 1951.
Can you bet on this? Maybe I should ask Todd Brommelkamp instead, but
you know, I'm gonna talk to Todd. And hopefully he'll talk about it on his show if you can bet on it. I would think it's an overseas bet. I think it's going to be like the Logan Paul fight where, you know, Elite won't have the numbers. Or nobody else will have the lines except somebody that's overseas.
So we're betting on the Terrier, right?
I'm betting on the herding class, the Corgis.
Well, of course you are, but you're partial.
Right, and the Terrier has won too many times. It's time for a change. It is time for a change. Either the Corgi or I have a Black Lab at home. I could go for the Black Lab or the Labrador Retrievers.
Is this going to consume your weekend?
This is going to consume more than my weekend. Because I believe Fox actually has the 2020 Westminster Dog Show on. And the 2019. Remember last year when it was COVID and I was sitting at home doing nothing? That's what I watched. I wasn't really big into the dog show until just last year.
Did the dogs have to wear masks last year?
No. No, sadly. But that'd be one of the most adorable things I've ever seen in my life.
The Westminster Dog Show. I don't know if I'm going to turn away from the Twins game tonight against the Astros, or maybe I'll just put it on the radio, 107.5 FM, starting at 6:30 on KGYM. I might have another person in the house who will take control of the remote because she loves the Westminster Dog Show. But there's always Saturday too, right?
Yeah. So it's over for today. They had the prelims.
What is?
Yeah, they had the prelims for the agility championship, and then the finals are tomorrow from 4 until 6 on Fox. And then the rest of the week, Fox, FS1, FS2, every other Fox channel will have the dog show. So if you're into that, make sure to give it a look. It's kind of fun to see all those dogs. It makes you kind of happy.
Remind us on Monday that you need your assignment for the weekend is to report back on the Westminster Dog Show, okay?
I will, and I'll make sure that Scott knows it too.
We have all the results, and we're going to have a pretty sizable announcement next week as well. I'm not sure whether it will be Monday or Tuesday, but stay tuned for that, as well as Scott rejoins us on Monday. But happy viewing this weekend, Zach, and I kind of brought this segment up because of you and your love of dogs, but I know there are other people out there that tune in as well. Sport or not?
It's definitely a sport.
All right.
It's definitely a sport.
I'd like to thank Scott Docterman of the Athletic for joining us on today's show. Great stuff. If you missed it, you can access the podcast shortly after the show and download that. Scott will come on the air about 20 minutes past the hour. Again, Twins baseball tonight, in addition to NBA basketball. Philadelphia and Atlanta squaring off 6 o'clock on 1600, 102.3 FM, 106.3 FM. And again, go ahead and visit our poll question at kgymradio.com. It asks you the two winners of tonight's games. Great lineup in store for next week, and looking forward to that. Thanks once again for listening. By the way, the Colonels are back in town next Tuesday. We didn't lose a team. They're going to be here for 2 weeks. So make plans to get out and see the Colonels. Buttons, thanks for joining me, man.
No problem. I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you then.
Attorney CPA.